Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We're on the air because truth matters. Your host for the broadcast is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal has a wealth of informative articles on topics such as the millennial generation, the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche, Mormon evangelism, and Stephen Hawking's new book, The Grand Design, which attempts to explain the universe without reference to God. As well, the current issue contains helpful reviews, evangelism tips, and practical apologetics pieces, all designed to help you be an effective witness in our culture. Joining Hank today is the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller. If you'd like to call in with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I do want to mention once again that if you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you want to do so immediately. You can go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And I would say that there are a lot of reasons to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, not the least of which is an article in the journal on Stephen Hawking's The Grand Design. We are now told by Stephen Hawking that science has arrived at the point where it can answer the why question. Why the universe exists, why we exist within the universe. It's not just the how question, but they are now contending that science answers the why question. One of the primary dilemmas of evolutionary theory in general is that it forces scientists to conclude that the cosmos in all of its complexity was created by chance. Biologist Jacques Monod, a winner of the prestigious Nobel Prize, once said that chance alone is at the source of every innovation, of all creation in the biosphere. Pure chance, absolutely free, but blind, he said, is at the very root of what he called the stupendous edifice of evolution. Chance is that magic wand that not only makes rabbits, but universes appear from nothing. And make no mistake, that is the contention in the grand design of Stephen Hawking, and that is what your kids are being taught today. Here's what Stephen Hawking says in The Grand Design. Because there is a law like gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. Spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing. It's the reason the universe exists. It is the reason we exist. And then he says it is not necessary to invoke God to light the blue touch paper and set the universe going. Of course, when we talk about chance, we're talking about chance in the sense that it refers to that which happens without cause. So chance implies the absence of both a design and a designer. An absurd notion. Imagine suggesting that Christopher Wren had nothing whatsoever to do with the design of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Imagine asserting that the majestic Messiah composed itself apart from Handel. Or imagine that the Last Supper painted itself without Leonardo da Vinci. Or as I talk about in a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, consider an even more egregious assertion. Consider the absurdity of boldly asserting that an eye, or an egg, or the earth, each in its vast complexity, is merely a function of random chance. The point, getting back to the article, is that Stephen Hawking believes that cosmic evolution now explains the how and the why of creation without having to invoke God. It all sounds grand and glorious from an evolutionary standpoint. Cosmic evolution now explains the why. In reality, when you read the book, or even a summary of the book in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, you find that they are skating on thin ice, black ice, non-existent ice. This is tantamount to the kind of eisegesis that people do when they don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. They don't know how to read the book of nature for all it's worth. Making huge leaps of logic. And yet, the name Stephen Hawking engenders such incredible awe that people think there must be something I'm missing. Well, you're not missing a whole lot. He thinks that at the end of the day, whether he talks about mathematical points or singularities, at the end of the day, he is saying in stark reality that nothing created everything. Though he obfuscates, his obfuscation does not cover the cloud of doubt in his own cosmic evolutionary mind, a clouded mind that starts with reason devoid of revelation, which always ends in the blind ditch of ignorance. One more reason to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It is available when you order online at equip.org, when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And right now, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, when you become a member of a team supporting this ministry on a regular monthly basis, we will send you the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal, not only as our way of saying thank you, but as our way of equipping you in the process. This is a magazine you simply cannot afford to be without. Again, you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll go right to the phone lines, talk to Bart. He's listening on XM-170 in Valdosta, Georgia. Hi, Bart.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question, it seems, is a timely one, given the way you started the show. The question is I'd like you to talk a little bit about your views on evolution and whether there's anything that we can, any truth that we can take about the way scientists present evolution, and also, if not, which I believe there is not any truths, or it's largely untrue. If not, could you talk about some of the fallacies or some of the holes in in the theory of evolution, specifically with regards to the fossil record and other things such as that.
Yeah, well, look, we say at the very outset as Christians that we believe in evolution. We simply do not believe in macroevolution. So as a Christian, we would say we believe in changes within kinds, but never changes from one kind to another kind. So there's no evidence in the fossil record that dinosaurs evolved into birds or that scales evolved into feathers. We say this is pure mythology. The fossil record simply says no. And that is why evolution has come up with all kinds of pseudo-theories. They, for example, postulate that there are quantum leaps in the fossil record. And therefore, they explain away the poverty of the fossil record by talking about things like punctuated equilibrium. And that is essentially a regurgitation of Goldsmith's hopeful monster theory, the idea that a lizard lays an egg and out comes a bird fully formed with wings and tail feathers. Again, the reason, the motivating factor for theories like spontaneous generation is there is no evidence in the fossil record that one kind evolves into another kind. So the fossil record says no. And I've said this many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast as well. If you look at the ape man icon, it looks good. The problem is the icon has become the argument. But when you look beneath the surface, you find that the icon is empty. If you look at the ape men that are part of the icon, you find Pithecanthropus erectus or Peking man or Nebraska man. You find all kinds of ape men, fiction, fantasy, and fraud. And as I said at the opening to the broadcast, chance happens to be a magic wand for the evolutionist, but this is magic. This is not mathematical, it's magic. It's the kind of thing that stretches credulity beyond the breaking point. We would say that in an age of scientific enlightenment, it's not time for us to embrace the evolutionary paradigm. The evolutionary paradigm is falling in an age of scientific enlightenment. I think the saddest thing, quite frankly, Bart, is that at a time when the evolutionary paradigm itself is failing and falling, there are Christians trying to prop it up. The evolutionary paradigm is bankrupt. The empirical laws of science militate against the evolutionary notion, and yet there are so many people, I think of Ron Reagan, who just wrote a dreadful book about his father, saying that you got to be stupid if you don't believe in evolution. These are the kinds of dogmatic assertions, unfortunately, not defensible arguments, but dogmatic assertions that kids are growing up with, and somehow or other, they feel the peer pressure to embrace evolution because they don't want to be benighted or stupid or ill-informed.
Well, how did it get to this point, Hank? And I agree with you, and I'm just a little perplexed that there's so little evidence and there's so many holes. How is it that this theory has made its way into our science books and is being taught in our classrooms as though it's a fact?
Well, I guess that's...
Why has that happened? And secondly, what are we doing enough as Christians to stop this from being taught? Because it seems like every parent is going to have or has faced the challenge of as soon as their child goes through high school or college biology, they're having to, de-doctrinize or, you know, try to explain away these things that have been taught to the children as fact.
Yeah, the problem is it is just assumed. And I think that we as Christians need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. We have to be able to say that in an age of scientific enlightenment, there is no more sophisticated or sound argument than in the beginning God created. Stephen Hawking has to come up with all kinds of theories that have no basis in reality to try to get away from the notion that an uncaused first cause is the cause of the universe. And as I said in the opening, he has to obfuscate because it's very hard for an intelligent person to say nothing created everything. And though he does obfuscate at times, at other times, as demonstrated by the article in the Christian Research Journal, he just flat comes out and says it. Nothing created everything. And that's his problem. That's the evolutionary problem. And it's about time that we as Christians use the deviation as an opportunity to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart.
The Christian Research Journal is a one-of-a-kind magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with trustworthy content you can depend on. Get a biblical perspective on current events, religious movements, and cultural trends, and gain the discernment skills you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Set sail into the beauty of Alaska on CRI's 2011 Alaskan Cruise. Join Hank Hanegraaff, Steve Camp, and Elliot Miller for the experience of a lifetime.
Hi, this is Elliot Miller, the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Last year, I was able to join many listeners to the Bible Answer Man as we did a Caribbean cruise. The fellowship that we had, the prayer, the Bible study, the worship, it was truly a family experience. The opportunity to hear Hank Hanegraaff teaching on a daily basis and Steve Camp ministering both through teaching and song is something that you just can't get anywhere else. So I invite you to go to equip.org and read all about the cruise and join us this June.
To register, call Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The millennial generation has been characterized as selfish, sexually permissive, and technologically addicted. Yet, a deeper exploration reveals a generation that has been raised and therefore shaped by the baby boomers. But like every generation since the dawn of time, millennials need to know that they are broken and sinful, and that they live in a universe created by a God so loving that He gave His only Son so that we may have life. Learn how you can reach this generation with the truth of the gospel when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Simply call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. Well, let's return now to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to bring onto the broadcast today Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Together, we want to talk for a while today about the Christian Research Journal, as well as answer your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, Hank.
The journal, as usual, is spectacular. I'm particularly interested and excited about this article on the grand design, which deals with Stephen Hawking's book, which mm-hmm. has gotten so much press. The yes. thing that I'm finding out is that there are a lot of people who are simply making the dogmatic assertion that we now can explain not only the how, but the why as a result yes. of scientific enlightenment. And this dogmatic assertion oftentimes comes from the platform and the premise of a book like this. And how important, then, is it that we as Christians get a journal that gives us a way of engaging this book and understanding its basic flaws?
I can't stress enough how important that is, Hank, because we're dealing with a culture in which the scientist serves the purpose of the priest in traditional cultures. He is the mediator between ultimate reality and man, the common person. You know, his word is final, and this is how he is viewed, you see. And of all scientists, none is more respected than Stephen Hawking. And so Stephen Hawking himself is immersed in the naturalistic worldview, which says that nature is all there is. And with that as a starting point, naturally, when he inquires into the origin of the universe, he's going to reach a naturalistic conclusion because his presuppositions drive him to that conclusion. But there's a weakness when you take that approach, because what naturalists don't recognize generally is that science and naturalism are not the same thing. Science is a method of observing and understanding and predicting phenomena in the natural world. It's valid whether, its validity can hold just as much if the universe was created by God. And in fact, it makes more sense if we understand that the world and its laws were rationally designed by an intelligent creator who gave us the capacity to recognize those patterns and understand their purposes and so forth. Then we have a basis for inquiry into the nature of things, because we believe in a rational order to the world rather than that the world just haphazardly emerged from nothing and intelligence was an accidental occurrence with no meaning or purpose. So, you know, the fallacy of naturalism is not of scientism or equating science with the philosophy of naturalism, which is not scientifically proven, is so widespread that when Hawking speaks, people think that he is speaking with absolute authority on the issue of the origin of the universe, because he's a great scientist and he believes that he has figured out basically how the universe began. Well, now a greater authority has spoken than any religious leader or any philosopher. Well, that's not true at all. He has simply moved out of his proper domain, which is the realm of physics, and into the realm of metaphysics, where he's not been trained, where he doesn't understand even the distinctions that I was just describing for you. And he's really in no position to speak authoritatively at all.
But from an apologetic standpoint, we needn't be too discouraged about this, Hank, because this is, you know, a biased effort to try to force the evidence into a naturalistic conclusion. They jump to conclusions all too quickly without good warrant. Like Hawking is basically saying, the reason we have so much design in the universe and the odds against that are would be so great without God is because there are so many universes. One of them had to have this appearance. There's like an infinite number of universes, and we just happen to live in the one that accidentally has the appearance of design. So that is, you know, people who are driven to reach a naturalistic conclusion, that's what they resort to try to explain the design in the universe, is the theory of the multiverse, that there are multiple verse, you know, just infinite number of universes, and with that many chances, you're going to get what would otherwise be impossible. But here's the problem with that. That is a highly speculative, theoretical, unproven, disputed, even among scientists, theory. And yet Hawking is basing his seemingly authoritative dismissal of a creator God on this disputed, unproven, and in the minds of many scientists, far-fetched theory of the multiverse. So, you know, there's real gaping holes in this whole thing, and our author points this out in a very accessible form. So by reading this, you know, subscribers to the Christian Research Journal will have an answer. Because I guarantee you people are going to say, well, you know, we don't have to resort to God anymore to explain how the universe got here. Stephen Hawking has explained it in his book, The Grand Design.
One of the things I want you to talk about, Elliot, is the synergism of the journal. What I mean by that is, as I read through the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, I find a lot of ideas, one that builds upon another, and as a result of that, I found myself stimulated, intoxicated, educated. For example, looking underneath the surface of the millennial generation deals with how we now are facing a generation that needs to be reached, a generation me. In fact, a generation me as God. And when the person loses God, he oftentimes makes a God out of himself. And in that way, he becomes, in essence, a mini-God. And we're living now in a time in which the people who are educating our kids are telling them there is no such thing as God, which feeds the millennial generation with the notion that if there is no God, then I have to be the substitute for God. And in that kind of a milieu, it is all the more important that parents and teachers and pastors know how to reach this generation, because this is no longer business as usual.
That's right. Well, the way that I look at it is that the millennial generation has taken what you and I, what our generation, the baby boomers, started to its logical conclusion. Generation X took it a lot further than we did, but they were still, in some ways, operating under assumptions from the Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian worldview that had dominated Western culture. The transition hadn't been complete, and with the millennial generation, it's not their fault. They were born into this world that we created for them. You know, this philosophical and spiritual world, as well as social world. But they're just taking it to its logical conclusion, and it is truly a hopeless world. A world where, you have to be your own God. You have to try to create your own meaning. It's in many ways similar to another subject covered in this issue of the Christian Research Journal, and that's Friedrich Nietzsche, who in a sense started all this. He started postmodernism, with his philosophy. And in the same way, you've got to create your own value system, your own meaning in life. You've got to be your own God, because God is dead. And so it is a universe without any meaning. But at the same time, that provides an evangelistic opportunity, because we human beings have a craving for meaning and purpose in our lives. And when that craving is unfulfilled, then we truly begin to realize we're lost. And it can lead to despair. It can even lead to suicide. But it creates a hunger for hope and meaning that we can tap into. But we need to understand how they think, the world in which they inhabit. And that's what Mark Sayers here does such an excellent job of explaining in this article. It's just a fantastic article.
The Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also order by talking directly to Resource Consultants, the number to dial 888-7000 and the letter CRI. But however you get the journal, whether you subscribe, whether you join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, get the journal. It is critical. It is not a nicety. It is a necessity. We've talked about just three of the articles. An article on the millennial generation, which I think is very instructive, teaches us how we can reach out by looking underneath the surface of the millennial generation, find out what's going on, be equipped, be aware, and reach your own kids. Not only that, but we have a philosopher series. Elliot just alluded to it. A critical overview of Friedrich Nietzsche's philosophy. This is important because it delves to the systemic root of how we got to where we are. This is not just a dead white philosopher. It is a philosopher who continues, like Charles Darwin, as a scientist, to rear his head in the 21st century. And then you have this article that we were talking about, The Grand Design, an article on Stephen Hawking's book by that title, that gives us an idea of what your kids are being fed as dogmatic assertions as opposed to defensible arguments. Look, we can bury our head in the sand. We can curse the darkness. Or you can become informed. You can take the effort, it takes some effort, to be equipped. Even if you can't do the job of answering the question, the journal does that job for you. I can't tell you, as the father of 12 kids, how many times I have pointed my kids to an article in the Christian Research Journal. Whether doing a paper on school or asking me a question, the Christian Research Journal oftentimes becomes the very resource to which I point them. There are a lot of reasons to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. We're just getting started. You can order online again in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI, subscribe today. We'll be right back with Elliot Miller, Editor-in-Chief of the Christian Research Journal, and your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
Did humans evolve from hominids? Did God use Darwinian evolution to create all things? How can we befriend Mormons while showing them the real Jesus? How has the philosophy of Friedrich Nietzsche affected our culture? Answers to these and other questions are found in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, a subscription magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe online at equip.org or talk to a resource consultant by calling 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this.
On one extreme, Muslims are portrayed as a mad monolith. On the other, as peace-loving pacifists. In the dark days immediately following 9/11, one thing was painfully obvious. More often than not, we were being informed by rhetoric and emotional stereotypes rather than reason and empirical studies. Many of us know Muslims already in our neighborhood or workplace. And with an ever-increasing population of Muslims all over the world, we should be ready to go to them as Christ calls. Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal, brings together the best articles of the Christian Research Journal on Islam to equip you to think Christianly about Muslims in order to reach them for Christ. To order this unique hardbound book on Islam, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or order online at equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The millennial generation seeks to grasp moments of experiential transcendence from the offerings of consumer culture. By following the culture's life script, young adults place themselves at the center of a disenchanted universe, making themselves idols. Get a better understanding of Generation Y in the article titled Looking Under the Surface of the Millennial Generation. Friedrich Nietzsche is the patron saint of postmodernism and may currently be the most influential of the great philosophers. Learn how to respond to Nietzsche's anti-God, anti-truth philosophy in Hendrik van der Breggen's article Awakening from the Nightmare. Other topics include Mormon evangelism, theistic evolution, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Biblical illiteracy is the biggest problem in the church today. At the Christian Research Institute, our mission is to remedy that woeful situation. One of the ways we've endeavored to do this is by compiling some of the most important questions and answers from the Bible Answer Man broadcast onto one CD. Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word, is a resource that'll give you the answers you need when faced with tough questions. Always Prepared covers topics such as the Trinity, Mormonism, eschatology, the inerrancy of Scripture, divorce and remarriage, Islam, and much more. Be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have when you order Always Prepared, Answers from God's Word on audio CD by calling the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or by logging on to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication featuring relevant, engaging articles with contributions from some of the most respected evangelical thinkers and theologians in the church today, as well as book reviews, witnessing tips, the insightful Ask Hank column, and so much more. Start your subscription today. When you become a Bible Answer Man monthly supporter, we'll send you the next 6 issues of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. Just call us at 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. Well, now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here once again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I'm talking to Elliot Miller about the Christian Research Journal, the reason you should be subscribing, and reminding everyone that right now when you become a member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, we send you the next 6 editions of the Christian Research Journal as our way of saying thank you. And in that way, we not only thank you, but it is a tool we put in your hands by which you can be equipped and others can be equipped in the process. Again, you can order via the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, let's take some calls. We'll go to the phone lines, talk to Grant. He's listening on XM 170 in Greenville, North Carolina. Hi, Grant.
How are you doing, Hank?
Good.
My question for you would simply be, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about Hawkins' new book, A Grand Design, or The Grand Design, which I have not read.
Yeah.
And that seems to be, I guess his theory essentially getting into a universe from nothing as an explanation.
Yeah.
My question is then after that point, you make references to evolution and so on and so forth, as if the Big Bang and a natural explanation that Hawkins puts forth is somehow have to do with the biological concept or theory of evolution. And to me, one seems like physics meant to explain one thing, and biology and evolution is trying to explain something separate. And so I guess it seems to me like that you're kind of jamming the two together as one, when it seems to me like they're two totally different theories trying to explain two totally different types of phenomena.
Well, I don't doubt that point, but what I am saying, and I'm saying this fairly with respect to Stephen Hawking, is that according to naturalism, something like chance and necessity, blind, purposeless, undirected, natural processes are at the root of both cosmological evolution or cosmic evolution and biological evolution. So you can make this distinction, but the point is that he is communicating the idea that you have chance and necessity at the root of both processes, whether you're talking about evolution from a cosmic standpoint or whether you're talking about evolution from a biological standpoint.
I agree with that, Hank. It's an issue of why is Hawking even arguing this way in the first place? You know, I mean, we have to read between the lines a little bit, but it's not hard to do. He's coming from the naturalistic perspective. He's looking to explain all phenomena without God. Evolutionists think they have found a way to explain biology without God through evolution. They haven't actually succeeded, but they don't realize that. However, a more fundamental problem for them has been the origin of the universe. You know, the Big Bang theory creates a major problem, you know, something coming out of nothing. That completely fits with the biblical view, which says that God created the universe out of nothing. And it makes a lot more sense for an intelligent, all-powerful, all-wise, all-present being to be behind that creation than for nothing, something to come out of nothing. So from a naturalistic perspective, you've got to find a way to explain the origin of the universe if you're going to keep God out of the picture. You think you've eliminated him with evolution, but he keeps showing up the further back you go. So, you know, the significance of the grand design is Stephen Hawking. People believe he's now really reached the ultimate solution. You know, you don't have to go any further back than the Big Bang. If you can explain that without God, then you can explain everything.
I understand both of your points, but if I may piggyback another question, which would be if... So I'm understanding that the only parallel that we have is just that they're both naturalistic explanations. That's really... the underlying point, right?
Well, the underlying point.
Random, too. What Hank said about random is very important.
Right. Okay, so then the next question would be if we're going to say that the only rules that they're playing by is naturalistic explanations, when have we ever had another phenomena, say we're not talking about the origin of the universe or that we're not talking about the origin of a specific species or a phyla or how cells work. But when has a supernatural explanation, and I can take this off the air after I ask this, when have we ever found that to be an explanation for anything?
The resurrection of Jesus Christ would be a good example. This is a historic fact, and people have attempted to explain it through something other than a supernatural explanation, but their answers are all strained and controverted by the evidence. The only explanation that fits all the evidence, you know, like a hand in a glove, is a miraculous event.
And the point here, whether you agree with what Eliot said or not, the point is that we as Christians are open-minded. We shun the notion of being closed-minded. And so we're saying that when you encounter things in this world, you have to allow for both a naturalistic explanation as well as a supernatural explanation. So you open your mind to both possibilities. The universe itself demands a supernatural explanation. I mean, at the end of the day, it is simply preposterous to posit, as Hawking does, in his own word, that nothing creates everything.
The other thing that I would say about Hawking and that, which I heard another gentleman speak about that very same thing, another physicist, and it seems to me like on a philosophical level, is you have a scientist publishing a book about a universe, everything from nothing. But you, to me, and it seems like if you're a Christian and you're saying that God is the creator of everything some unknown means, to me, you still got an uncaused first cause just like he does. He doesn't have anything.
Yeah, but the laws
cause his first cause, and you don't have anything to cause your first cause.
Right,
God doesn't have a first cause, so you really didn't, as far as philosophically, you didn't get anywhere. You didn't explain anything, but you just added one more extra part onto it.
No. Can I answer that, Hank?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a matter of the categories that you're going to. We know there had to be something. I mean, logically and scientifically, we know that something does not come from nothing. There had to be something that always existed. But when we look for something in the natural order, everything we look at in the natural order is temporal by nature. In fact, the universe itself is winding down, according to the second law of thermodynamics. Everything in the universe is interdependent, and nothing is self-sufficient and independent to explain its own existence. And so by the very nature of that analysis, you've got to have a cause that is not like the universe, that is not a part of the physical universe. And so, and furthermore, all of the design in the universe, even prior to the emergence of life, suggests intelligence behind it. So what is more rational, to have a non-physical, eternal, intelligent, self-sufficient being as that which has always existed, or to have some brute, unintelligent, natural law and force that just somehow always existed and then brought all this order and beauty and wonder into existence? Logically, God is an explanation that is satisfying. The other, that is where you really have an infinite regress, because everything within the universe is dependent, and if you have something else to explain it, then you've got to explain that. But God, by the very nature of what you're talking about, doesn't require a pre-existing cause, because by definition, he is that which has always existed.
And unlike the universe, this is not adding a lot, but simply synthesizing. Unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal God logically can be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. And I would make one other point. Hawking himself reduces in principle Darwinian biological evolution to physics. So we have to stay true to what he is saying, not misrepresent him, or, on the other hand, help him in his obfuscation.
Right, I understand that. And I guess at some level we'll just have to agree to disagree, but I still have a hard time that accepting. I understand you have to leave both doors open possible. We don't know. We have a possibility of a supernatural explanation, and we have a possibility of natural explanation. But to me, it seems that it's an unnecessary leap to go to the supernatural. We have not even exhausted all of the possibilities of a natural explanation. All of the other previous supernatural explanations for a lot of previous unknowns that we've had before the Enlightenment and et cetera, they had supernatural explanations for a certain amount of time until we had uncovered more and more and more. And it just seems to me like over a period of time, that just keeps progressing. And at any time where science can't go any further, that's where we say, well, that's where the supernatural stuff starts.
Well, yeah, but it's really not like that, because when you go back to the origins, at that point you're stepping into a metaphysical realm where you can't presume naturalism. You've got to be open to any possible explanation that is rational and that can account for the universe. And so the Bible doesn't say lightning was caused by God, you know, slamming a hammer down. Those kind of superstitions are part of human history, but they're not a part of the Bible. The Bible has always taught that miracles are an exception to the rule. Miracles, by definition, are God intervening at a specific time and place to reveal himself for the salvation of mankind. So it's different. And so God intervening in miracles is not the same thing as what you're saying, that science will explain something. Miracles have never been explained.
Hey, Grant, I really appreciate your call today.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, I'm
Thank
running
you,
out of time for the for the show, but
yes, sir.
Love to talk to you another
gentlemen.
Time. You know, there are intractable problems for naturalism, for any naturalist explanation, the origin of the universe, fine-tuning the universe for the existence of life, origin of first life, origin of information in the genetic code, irreducible complexity in biological systems, the origin of consciousness, and the list goes on. These are issues, as you can tell by the conversation with Grant, that we need to be equipped in. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. The Christian Research Journal, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll start taking your calls in just a few moments right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want to call in your question, start dialing this number right now and for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for tuning into the Bible Answer Man. We would also like to thank Elliot Miller for his contribution to the broadcast. Today, we've discussed many of the insightful features in the Christian Research Journal, and our prayer is that you've been blessed and equipped. We encourage you to subscribe to the journal and become a more effective tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Or to start your subscription online, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.